Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're on the air.
Thank you.
back with our favorite group of friends in the whole world on Miracle Internet Cafe, and it's so good to be back with you. You know, we have so much to talk about all the time. I guess when we get into heaven, we're going to give each other 10,000 years of just talking about things, because time is just running away from us every single day. You know, the Lord is great, and He's worthy to be praised all the time. And so tonight, we're going to talk about Halloween, because that's such a big issue in America. When I was a little girl, you know, we used to celebrate Halloween too. And is the sound good out there with the talk? Are we talking good? That was the music part, Bill. Are we talking good? Yes. Amen. And so you just got to dial in, Brother Bill, and, you know, dial one, and then I'll see you. And so we've had a wonderful conference here at the Best Western Hotel in Jacksonville, Florida, where we had a great conference with Bishop Conco. And many, many of our Blog Talk listeners came flying in like little birds, and they got fed and delivered, and they went back home. And I'm sure that we'll have some testimonies tonight. One little boy was 8 years old, and the Lord opened his ear right on Blog Talk Radio. I think it was Friday night. And then other miracles happened there, lots of deliverance, lots of teaching, and soon we'll pull those DVDs together and we'll offer them to you. I don't think they've gotten together yet, but we'll be able to offer them to you pretty soon. God is great and good and worthy to be praised all the time, is all I've got to say. And yeah, we saw some of our regular Blog Talk people down here in Jacksonville. And, you know, you need to pray, because we're praying about having a monthly deliverance ministry at the hotel for our Blog Talk listeners of teaching. We'll call it Dr. Pat's Seminary, something like that. And then you can come in, fly in, or drive in on a Saturday. We're going to start the meetings at 12, and then we'll stop about 5 and let you go eat and do whatever you want to, and come back about 7, and we'll teach a little bit more, and then we'll do mass deliverance. I've done mass deliverance all over the world, and I can tell you that it works, because Jesus Christ, it's not Pat Holiday or Bishop Canco that does the deliverance, you know. It's Jesus. And of course, I know Jesus, and I know his name, and I know his word. And so we had in the ministry, we had about 4 deliverance ministers that have been trained over the years by yours truly. Of course, you're all familiar with Dr. Sabrina and Bill and Pastor Williams, and his wife came in, and there was a lot of activity going on in the meeting, and we just all had a great time. And I see, before I get into the teaching tonight, I see Brother Bill up on the phone. Let me just say hello to him, because he did the sound. We were both learning on the job as far as the sound was concerned, but we'll get better with it. How are you doing, Brother Bill?
Doing great. How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing great. Do you have a testimony about the conference, the Deliverance Conference?
Yes, I saw a lot of people getting freedom there, and I hope that they stay close to Jesus and they keep it. It's all I've been praying. It's just amazing what the Lord was doing there.
He was
when you
really
see, when you see God open a little boy's ears that was deaf before, and when you see others just get free, it's amazing. That's all I ever want to do is just help people. And it's great that Jesus has allowed me to do that through me. It's unbelievable. And you and Bishop Kenko and Sabrina and everyone else that were there. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
We all had a little part to play in God's big plan.
Amen. And your wife, Mila, was there doing a great job, too.
Yes, she enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
She's just shining what she does.
Oh, yes, she is. Well, I just give God the glory for the conference because we saw so many people that we know up on Blog Talk Radio from coming in and calling in, and we've ministered to some of them over the air. And, you know, people, let me say this to you. We can minister deliverance over the air to you, but I'm sure that we're going to get some witnessing people to come on tonight that will witness to the freedom that they got when they came to the conference. Because you see, when you come to the conference, a major deliverances can happen because the deliverance minister is there to look over you, and the anointing is greater whenever a deliverance ministry prays person to person. And, you know, you're blessed people. There's not many deliverance ministries in America. And to tell you the truth, the people sometimes you have, well, a lady told me one time, she said, you know, a bird will fly a long way to get a good feeding. And sometimes you have to leave where you are to come because of the fact that there are no deliverance ministries in your area. And so just be praying about this because Dr. Sabrina and Pastor Williams and I talked about it, and we're praying about it. As soon as we get an answer from God, we'll certainly let you know. But start saving some of your money so that you can come down here. You get a special rate at the Best Western Hotel, and they were just so gracious with our people. It was just wonderful the way they treated the people when they came into the hotel. And so just pray about it and see what God will have you to do and what God will have us to do, because right now that's kind of what we're planning on doing. You know, I love Blog Talk Radio. We've gotten a big harvest out of Blog Talk. And, Bill, there were a lot of people there, weren't there?
Yes. I didn't bother to count them, but I'd say there was a big group the first night.
It's a room full, right?
Yes, that whole room was full. I don't think there were just a couple empty seats, if at all.
And, you know, the interesting thing about it is they came from other parts. They were not Jacksonville people at the conference.
When you have them coming in from Australia and Canada, desperate for deliverance, you can see the state of the people out there. It's unbelievable. It shows you the state of the church.
Yes. Well, we had some come from New York and Texas and North Carolina, South Carolina, Mississippi. Those are some of the names of the cities that I remember. And there were more than that because there were more, but I was so busy until I can't just call them all right off the spot. But they were all smiley, smiley when... Well, you know, to compare it, they all looked like Joel Osteen when they left. I mean his smile, Sabrina.
Yeah, but they had the true Holy Ghost on them when they left, not yeah, what Joel not. Has.
Well, I'm talking about his smile. I'm talking about his giant smile. They all left that was a joke, Bill. Come on, laugh.
I was laughing too. I just didn't hear it, so you don't hear me.
Anyway, they all had a wonderful time. Bishop was great. And he really has a very discerning. He can flat discern those spirits. And, you know, you could really see a difference, by the way, guys, at that ministry and these ministries that you see going up on the Facebook. And it's different. Let me tell you, it's different to discern a spirit and cast it out than it is to interrogate demons. Let me tell you right off the bat. There is no power, no anointing in something like that. But whenever God shows you the demon by his spirit and you're discerning it and seeing it and looking at it face to face, and he gives you the name to call out, let me tell you, there's power there. Sister Sabrina, Dr. Sabrina, come over and you add your two cents about the, because you worked hard. We were both up there casting out these Kundalini spirits from all of the churches. Go ahead.
Well, good evening, Blog Talk listeners, and God bless you all. It was a pleasure to see you and to meet you face to face. It was a joy to have you here. And we will surely miss you, except that we'll get to talk to you on Wednesday and Fridays. And we are very proud of the work that the Lord did. And we are very happy in the Lord for your deliverances, for your healing. And we pray that you continue to walk in the ways of the Lord, that you continue to fear the Lord, and that you hold on to your deliverance, that you do those things that we discussed at the meeting, that you might keep your deliverance, and that you might get yet further deliverances in the meetings to come. And it was very wonderful to see you all, to see you face to face. It was very heartwarming to know that you cared. And thank you so much for the very nice things that you said to us. It was truly a blessing. And I do believe as we continue on, the Lord will teach us yet more and more, and we might have even more freedom. Because whom the Son sets free is truly free indeed.
Amen. And you know, when you see children getting deliverance and getting their healing right on the spot and dancing, just dancing before the Lord, it was just so much freedom. Mm-hmm. Those of us that had been over to Africa, you know, at services in Africa, masses of Christians come to church and they get handkerchiefs and they all dance twirling the handkerchiefs. And we were there twirling the handkerchiefs and at the very end and just having a joyous time in the Lord. And so we're looking forward, and you be in prayer and agreement with us that this will continue. If God gives us the strength to do this, because it takes a lot of strength to do what we were doing. It's not easy, because you're beating the devil blow for blow when you're face to face casting out spirits like that. But they do fly out and they go, and we give God the glory for that, because it was just wonderful. Excuse me. I promised you some time ago that I would do some teaching on Halloween. And we all know that Halloween is here now. This is the month. You can already walk in all of your stores and you see all the goofy stuff in there. But as you look, I want you, some of you that are older, middle-aged, I want you to, when you walk in the stores and you see the Halloween paraphernalia, I want you to remember when you were a kid and what the costumes and things looked like when you were a kid. Well, they were harmless, you know, little clowns and little spooky things, maybe ghosts dressed in white and a playtime-looking witch and little things that weren't serious things. Now you go in and you've got these monsters of all different kinds. And the little children walk in and they want all of that stuff and they want the Halloween candy and all of that. Well, let me tell you, you better pray about these things. It's not the Halloween that you knew when you were a kid, just fun and games. It's really serious business now. Our children have been inducted into deep witchcraft from Harry Potter books and from movies and from television witchcraft movies and plays and the Chronicles of Narnia and things like that. And so your children at the age of 4 are not the same as we were when we were age 4. I saw this little girl not too long ago, and she had a Ken doll and a Barbie doll, and she sat down and started playing with that doll, and both dolls were nude, and she took the little Ken and put him on top of the Barbie, and she said, "Boy, they're having a great party." And so this little kid saw that somewhere. I have no idea where. But the point is she knew. I didn't know about things like that until I was probably 17 or 18 years old. And so things, our America has changed. And we need to begin to look at things spiritually instead of wanting to join the powers of the world. Because the powers of the world, they will hook you in and they will grab your kids before you know it. You know, there was a Texas mom. I'm not going to talk about the Halloween dramas that Hell Houses tonight, but I intend to get to those before we get through these Halloween series. But many of you know that in many of the Christian churches, they have these hell houses. And what these hell houses are about is it's about pastors bringing these dramas into the church to scare people into heaven. Well, you see, that's not exactly a scriptural way of approaching lost people or even people that are backslidden. You know, when you preach the gospel, the Spirit of the Lord works with you with the gospel and the name of Jesus, and he will put a true conviction on the person's spirit and their flesh that they will sometime cry out in great agony and ask Jesus to save them. That's the proper way of bringing people into the kingdom. But what these people do is they have this drama called Hell House in their churches. And this woman from Texas took her son to a church that had one of these dramas. And it was all about, it featured like things like abortion, suicide, homosexuality, and hell, women getting an abortion with hamburgers, chopped meat representing the baby, and it's just disgusting stuff. And you see, if you join into the devil's kingdom, you'll get a harvest. You may get a lot of people coming through. There was a local preacher here that has that hell house, and I ran into him, and he was bragging about it to me. And he said, why? We had more than 10,000 people come through when we had the Hell House, and a lot of people got saved. I said, well, let me ask you this. After Halloween was over, did they come back? How many came back to the church? Not one word. And so here's a dumb preacher that we'll just call him Dumb Sheep, that the preacher's proud that 10,000 people walked through his church, but not one got saved. Now, I would be ashamed of that, wouldn't you? But the truth is that that is not the way to evangelize. If there are any pastors, don't do that. That is a disgrace and an abomination to God. And you're going to stand before the throne of God and answer that you led the young people into Halloween experiences with haunted houses fixed up in your church. And you're going to say, but God, 10,000 people came through my church that year. And he's going to say, yeah, buddy, but there's 10,000 in jail. I mean, in hell, real hell. They never got saved. Okay. So we're going to talk about Halloween. But before we do, I feel that we need to pray for this program and the ones that are going to happen after this program, because the witches get all stirred up whenever we do these things. So, Bill, are you still there on the air? Sabrina? You want to pray for the show? I guess Bill's got his button off.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, first of all, for the opportunity to do such a show in your name. We plead the blood over the show and over everyone that is a Christian that is listening, over every believer, over all of our equipment, over ourselves, over the airways. We take authority from our position in heavenly places with Christ Jesus over the godless world, the prince of the power of the air, Satan. We bind him and his works and those that work for him in Jesus' name. We bind and cage their works in Jesus' name. We declare that the airways be free for the gospel to go forth, that many all over the world will hear and receive. We bind up the hardness of hearts and deafness of ears in Jesus' name, that the people that come up here will listen and hear, that their hearts might be pricked, that they might be convicted, that they might repent, that they may be saved and healed in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, for truth going forth in Jesus' name. The Bible says that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life, Lord Jesus. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we offer these programs up to you, Lord God. We thank you for your blessing upon them. We thank you for you watching over them, Father, and we thank you for you using them to touch the hearts of men and women everywhere. We take authority and dominion over every evil work, and we bind you and we cage you in Jesus' name. We divide your ranks and we separate your powers. We break the agreements that gave you force in Jesus' name. We take your power and authority and transfer it back to the Lord Jesus Christ, because all power actually belongs to God. You have no right to use power because you are doing it illegally. And we bind you and rebuke you in Jesus' name. We break the ranks of the enemy. We bind up the works of every witch, every warlock, every wizard in Jesus' name, and all those who work in the covens against the Christians in Jesus' name. All independent witches, warlocks, and wizards, we bind you as well in Jesus' name. All liars, you are bound in Jesus' name. All thieves, you are bound in Jesus' name. All deception and all deceptive demons, you are bound in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we release this show to you, and we thank you for your blessing and grace. Amen.
Amen. Bill, do you have anything?
Bill, so he's in agreement.
Okay, Bill is in agreement. So, in the name of Jesus, we're ready to go to this show, and it's actually a program, not a show, because Jesus is right here in the middle of all of this. You know, over the years, I have ministered to many, many witches and some wizards, but they all tell me that Halloween is very, very important to their ritualisms, their systems. Witches and wizards love Halloween, and it is considered to be the highest, most powerful day of the year. And so on those nights, they gather together, and what they do is they vie for power for the coming year. And when you speak of a witch vying for power, what you're talking about is territorial power. And the territorial power, let me tell you how Irene Park put it to me. She told me that they come together on Halloween night and they do blood sacrifices. Now, these are real witches. These are not these little people that think they're witches and they never, ever had a blood sacrifice. They may have done some rituals, but they've not gotten down into the depth of the powers of darkness yet. But the real witches, they do blood sacrifices, no matter what they tell you. Some of them will say, you know, there's white witchcraft and there's black witchcraft. Well, to be honest with you, all witchcraft is witchcraft to God. It doesn't matter whether you're doing witchcraft for what you think is good, to heal people and things like that, to prophesy, to divinate over people. It doesn't matter what you think. Witchcraft is witchcraft to God. And black witchcraft, they do animal sacrifices and human sacrifices. And also, some of them marry Satan, and some of them have sexual husbands that Africans call them spirit husbands, spirit wives. It's a deep, deep, dark cauldron of sin that you really don't want to get involved in, because if you get involved in it, you're not going to get out easily, even in deliverance. Bishop Kenko in his testimony told you that it took 3 years of doing deliverance, and he could not just come and get deliverance and then it was all over like Americans think that it happens. No, it's a work of God in your spirit, and it's a work that takes time, because there are areas in your life that God deals with a little at a time, particularly in America, because you don't have an understanding of deliverance. So a whole layer will come off in America, and then you walk that out. You get control of that particular part of your life, walking with Jesus. And I'm going to get back to the white and dark witchcraft in a minute. And then when you walk it out, then some more spirits start bubbling up, and the Lord will reveal to you other areas that you need deliverance. And then when we work on that part of your life, you have to walk it out. Now, what does that mean, walk it out? That means that you walk close to Jesus and you turn away and you don't do the things that you used to do. If the minister tells you to do something, you listen to the deliverance minister and you do it. It's just like at this ministry in Jacksonville. We have people sneaking over from their big luxurious churches and their Kundalini pastors and their pastors preaching out of the funny Bibles for deliverance. They're tormented. And we minister to them and we warn them. We say, listen, stay here and learn how to defend yourself and protect yourself before you go running around letting people lay hands on you and pray for you. And don't go back to your church until you get totally free and you can hear the Lord speaking to you. And the reason for that is they got demon possessed over there in those churches. And so freedom comes when a person submits themselves totally to Jesus Christ and they say, not my way, Jesus, but your way. Your will be done. I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll go where you tell me to go. But the problem is some of these people have these little jobs in churches and they want to go and fulfill that job. But they got demon possessed over there in that church. And so instead of them going to Jesus and saying, Jesus, should I go back or should I leave? And God is going to lead you, excuse me, in the right way. He's going to tell you to stand in the ministry that delivered you until you get free, totally free. And that's the way it is up here on Blog Talk Radio. We ask you to do the same thing. We ask you to stay, listen, learn, go read the Bible, go up on MiracleInternetChurch.com, listen to the MP3s, get yourself filled with the things of God, because that's the way you're going to overcome. And I said this because we were talking about white witchcraft and dark witchcraft, and I can honestly tell you that they're from the same root, and that root is the devil. Now, I just happen to have been able, over my ministry years, to have ministered to both types of witches and wizards, both black or white. And I can tell you that the people that come in that are dabblers, sometimes you call them dabblers, and they don't belong to any covens or anything. They just read things and watch movies and listen to TV and read Harry Potter books and all kinds of, The Exorcist book. I remember ministering to somebody that had gone to the movie and read The Exorcist book. And that's all they had ever done. And their vessel was just full of devils just because they had opened up their spirits and gone in that movie. And there were many devils lurking around in the movie. And when they got involved with the movie was made up of a lot of subliminals. People would throw up and vomit and faint in that movie, and even sometimes they would have to haul them off to the hospitals, emergency rooms. And so when you go in these movie houses, you're opening yourself up to things that you have no idea, no concept, and it doesn't matter whether it's a nice movie or a bad movie, because those demons are in the atmosphere. I mean, you might go in the movie to see some very innocent movie, and the night before the movie, Halloween 3, 4, 5, or whatever they call them, and all of those devils are just hanging around the movie houses waiting on you to come in so that they can possess you. So you have to learn, Christians, to guard your spirit, and you have to learn to be alert and sensitive to the spirits, because of the fact that if you're not sensitive, then you just walk in, sit down, and join the crowd. And when you do that, you're going to a lot of times be in places where you should not be. And you're going to get in spiritual trouble when you go places where you shouldn't be. And God is quite able to convict you if you ask him. Problem is most Christians are so rebellious and so willful that they just do whatever they want to do when they want to do it. And Jesus is the last thing on their agenda anyway. If they can come to church, they come to church. But if something else is going on, you won't find them there. And you know, this wishy-washy Christianity that we are following today, it's just not gonna, it's not gonna make it with the Lord. I'm just telling you. So the witchcraft, white and black witchcraft, they have to go through deliverance. just as people that are dabbling and playing with it have to go through deliverance. You're not going to escape it. And once you go through deliverance, you're going to have to live very tightly and very close to the Lord. You can't be a willful Christian after deliverance. And so I'm just warning you of these things because you need to know. So most Americans believe that witches and wizards are creations of somebody's imagination or somebody's fantasy writings, or there's some kind of a mental metaphor. No, the truth is that witches and wizards are real, and they're very, very powerful. And some of them are not. Some of them don't know what they're doing for sure. But you don't know who is and who isn't. So the best thing for you to do is to guard yourself against that. Now, some Christians believe that Halloween is just suspicious or superstitious. And it is suspicious also, but superstitious. And that it's just something that people do to have fun. And they think that they're more sophisticated than you are if you know the truth about Halloween, which the truth of it is they are dumb sheep. And you have the wisdom of God if you know the truth about these things, right? And so Halloween is the second biggest day of the year for stores in America to sell all of these demonic things, the mask, the Halloween costumes, the paraphernalia. And let me say that some churches in our town even sell the jack-o'-lanterns or the pumpkins so that you can go home and make a jack-o'-lantern. Now, a lot of people just think that's fun. You know, the jack-o'-lantern's face, it looks real nice. And you can do amazing things with a pumpkin if you are a woodcarver particularly. But what is it? What is a jack-o'-lantern anyway? It's known as a will-o'-wisp, W-I-L-L with a capital O, and then wisp, W-I-S-P-S, which is an ancient symbol of a damned soul. So there you are. You're going to carve your Halloween pumpkin that you got from your church this year, and what's going to happen to you? You're going to put it in the window, and you're going to light a candle in the Halloween carved pumpkin face, the jack-o'-lantern. And that's a light in your window. It's supposed to keep evil spirits away, but it does the reverse because everything in witchcraft is in reverse, you know. So if they tell you that it's going to keep the demons away, that means, reverse that, that means the demons are going to come. Amen? And so Halloween is celebrated in many Christian churches, masquerading as church fundraising bazaar. And churches grow very dark during this time, this season. And you can go to church and you'll see it decorated with these black springing cats and witches and skeletons and scarecrows, haunted houses, bats, vampires, dummies in coffins. And churches should not be integrated with Satan's objects, with the holiness of the sacred house of God. But you know what happens is Christians just bring their little children down there and they bob in the little apple or barrel of apples to get an apple. And they go around and have fake fortune tellers telling their fortunes. And all kinds of powers of darkness are working as you are walking around giving your child's soul to Satan. Now, have you ever thought of that? That's what you're doing. You are indoctrinating your child into the powers of darkness. And, you know, they put their little monster costumes on that TV has made sure that they know about monsters and witches and all of these kind of things. And they imitate their favorite devils, and they come to the church. And what happens is all of this mess does nothing but pollutes or contaminates the family that engages in this. And it's wicked, and it brings curses both to the churches and the families. I remember a church in Jacksonville had a great big Halloween festival, and it was a big church. And on Halloween Eve, it all burned to the ground, the church and all of the decorations and everything. I would say that God was furious about that. And I emailed the pastor and I told him, I said, that's what you get for bringing that darkness into your church. Of course, he never answered me back. But sometimes pastors do these things because you're quiet and you don't go and confront him with the darkness that he's experienced and working with. Sometimes you need to be the one that stands up and say, I just totally disagree with this. I remember when I was a baby Christian, I took Halloween away from my children. They had already experienced it before I got saved. We used to decorate our house, and they used to have contests in the neighborhood. And, of course, our house always won, because I was such a wicked woman anyway. And we would take our kids out and trick-or-treat. I never would let them eat the stuff. I would have stuff that I bought at home that I would give to them. That's before salvation. But after I got saved, I just stopped doing that. So I was going to a new church, and it was Halloween, and so I decided I would take my children to the church. And I didn't know what churches did then, actually. And I come walking into the yard of the church, and there's the preacher's wife, and she's dressed up like a witch, even had a little mole pasted on her nose. And her daughters were dressed up like witches, and they had a haunted house made up in there. And they were charging people to go through the haunted house. And so they looked at my children and said, you want to go through the haunted house? And I said, no, my children will not go through the haunted house. And so I came home. I was just absolutely furious about that. And so these things have powers attached to them more than you'll ever know. Now, speaking about haunted houses, you know, in Disney World, they have a haunted house there. And before I got saved, I used to take my children through that haunted house too. But after I got saved, I stopped taking my children to Disney World. What they don't see, they don't know. So I just stopped supporting it. And also, in the state of Florida, every graduation year, the graduating seniors are offered a free trip down to Disney World. Well, what their parents don't know is on the same day they have Gay Day. So your child goes to Disney World and they see all of the gay women and men walking around kissing each other all over the place. But they have that haunted house there. And a young man that used to come to the fellowship many years ago, graduated and he went to Disney World and he stayed with his Christian group. But all of a sudden he got lost and found himself with some of the worldly children. And of course, they took him to the haunted house. So this is what he told me. He said, when they go into the haunted house, you sit in this little carrier that takes you around. And he said, when you sit down, the mirrors in the haunted house shows this green demon. And the green demon comes and sits right next to you. And the demon says, I will be your spirit guide throughout this adventure. And so he told me that they went by one room and there was a skeleton head just turning around and around. Then they went by another room and there was a whole table, long table full of skeletons eating there and making weird sounds. And on it went with these weird things in that haunted house. And at the very end, that green demon speaks and says to the person, he says, I hope you enjoyed your ride because now I'm coming into you and I will be with you for the rest of your life. And so when the boy came home, he started having terrible nightmares, just absolutely awful nightmares. And so what happened was then he started having nightmares of being a homosexual. So this spirit would appear to him and say that you are a homosexual. So his girlfriend said, go to Pastor Pat. So he came to me. And I discerned that spirit on him. And remember, I had ministered to him for several years before he ever had gone over to Disney World. So I knew him and his spirit very well. And so I looked at him and I said, I'm not accusing you of anything. I said, but son, I see a homosexual spirit on you. And I said, and you know, some of these things can come down through the family line, but I just have to warn you that it's there. Do you want me to cast it out? And he said, yes. And I cast it out, and sure enough, it was there. And that's when he told me that this demon was appearing to him, telling him that that's what he was. He was a homosexual. And so what happens is that your kids are really subjected to more things than parents can ever really imagine. But the point that I want you to see here is that when they step on Satan's grounds, they're going to pick up things just as you're going to pick up things. And so, you see, Halloween is something, it works like this. You've got a big part of the American system now. And they see nothing wrong with Halloween. They just see it as a great big celebration every year where everybody has fun. And, you know, it's not for children anymore. Because I know grown-ups that have Halloween parties every Halloween. In fact, before I got saved, my husband and I used to have Halloween parties for adults in our own house. And so I understand both sides of this coin. I'm not just speaking as a holier-than-thou art Christian. I've been there. I know. And so Halloween is a very, very dangerous thing. And they can think that it's harmless, that it's fun, and that, you know, dressing up in the costumes, everything that they do is just for fun. And a lot of times at the Halloween parties, the people just get disgustingly drugged up or drunk anyway. So that alone should tell you to stay away from Halloween parties, right? And so they think it's just harmless. It's not harmless. When you step over on Satan's territory, you're going to get burned. Make no mistake about that. And so Halloween decorations and trick-or-treats and others see it as a middle ground approach. Well, you know, I'll just go this far into the water of slop, but I'm not going to go all the way up to my neck. I might smell it. Well, it just doesn't work that way. When you step in to the middle approach, you're standing on dangerous grounds, because the way they operate this particular Halloween thing is they allow trick-or-treat going on in the churches and the masquerades, but the Bible characters, they dress the kids up in Bible costumes instead of demonic occult figures. So that kind of washes their conscience, and they think they've protected their children, because after all, my child is going to church dressed as King David, or my kid is going to be Elijah, or mine is going to be Jesus. This is just wrong, because it's, when they grow up, your kids are not going to know the difference. When they see other people dressing up in Halloween costumes, they're going to remember, oh yeah, we did that at church. They're not going to take into account that it was Bible characters. It was a costume, friend. It was a make-believe fantasy world that you have introduced your child to. Now, many, many Christian churches are now seeing the influence of the occult-based day and its fruit. One cannot deny the occult is metaphysical, and the nature of Halloween is not in line with the Christian church in character or in character. And so you have to make a choice. If your preacher is so dumb that he wants to do these things, and you're so dumb that you want to make yourself complicit with it, when you stand before the throne of God, God is going to judge you just as harshly as he judges that preacher. And particularly once you hear the truth of it, you can't just go around doing your own thing, because you're going to get caught in the devil's snares if you try to do that. So a lot of Christians defend their complicity of the Halloween by asserting that they have liberty in Christ from bondages of legalism, declaring it's only innocent fun. And God would never give us liberty to engage ourselves in evil festivals of witches and Satanists. Now, you know, when I was in ministering in some of the third world countries, particularly over in the Caribbean, several times I came into those areas where they were having their demonic festivals. And I'm staying in the preacher's house. And the kids would all get dressed, and the family would all get dressed, and they would go to the festivals. And they would explain to me, well, you know, we've been preparing for this for a solid year, and we don't want to disillusion our kids. So do you want to go? And I said, no, I'll just stay here and pray. You see, I'm smart enough to know that Christians can cause a lot of their own problems, particularly spiritual warfare problems. So I'd rather stay in fellowship with Jesus then go out and fellowship with the devil and then have to fight the devils off. So I stayed and prayed. And in fact, I remember in Trinidad one time, they were having a Hindu festival. And so the preacher's daughter came to me and she said, We're going to a Hindu wedding of one of my classmates. I thought maybe you would like to come along. And I said, no, I don't think so. I think I'll just stay right here. And so they all went to the wedding. And when they came home that night, when I went to sleep, or just as I was trying to go to sleep, the cyclop devil appeared right in my room. And the way that thing looked, it was like a black figure, not a black man, like a race, like black people in America call themselves black. This is like black, like you paint a picture black. And this thing had one eye, which made it a cyclops, and on its face it was like it. Pussy looking stuff was coming out of pores, and it was a very frightening looking thing, and I just bounded up and commanded it to go. So what I'm telling you, you've got to be wise. If you want to be free, don't engage yourself with the world or with worldly Christians dabbling around with the powers of darkness. Just go into your house and pray. Cover yourself and your family with the blood of Jesus and disengage with that stuff. And then your warfare will become a lot less than what it is now. Now, Jeremiah 10, verse 2 through 3 says, learn not the ways of the heathen, for the customs of people are in vain. So we're not supposed to do the customs of the pagans. What Christian churches really should be doing on Halloween night, they should be having church meetings and interceding for their community and those little children that are out there trick-or-treating. You know, Irene Park, the former witch that switched, she's a personal friend of mine, and she loved the Lord, and she knew about these things, like Bishop Kenko knows about certain things about demonology because he lived in that, and she lived in that, and she became a Christian. And Irene Parks just told me that how dangerous it was because of the fact when she was in witchcraft. She said that they would go, and the witches would buy Halloween candy, and if it had wrappers on it, they would carefully unwrap it, and they would put defecation and urination on the candy, and then they'd rewrap it back up, and then they would take a razor blade and slice apples and put the razor blade in the apple so that the child, when he bit into the apple, would get cut. All sorts of ungodly things go on at Halloween. And just because you think that you're a nice person and that you would never do anything like that, there are people that would kill your kid at the drop of a hat. So you better get wise, and particularly with people getting as perverse as they are today. Now, in 2 Corinthians 6:15 through 17, the Bible says, learn not to do the way of the heathen, for the customs of the people are vain. I just told you that. So don't get involved with their mess. And then Chronicles 2:6, verses 15 through 17. It's 2 Chronicles, excuse me. Chapter 6, verses 15, 17. The Bible says, and what hath concord hath Christ with Baal? Now, you know, Baal is the devil. And of what part hath he? Excuse me. He that believeth with an infidel. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and he shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separated. So the scriptures are warning you very seriously to watch what you're doing in this hour of time. There is a great, mighty body of evil spirits that have been released on this generation. And you see, every time that a person allows the devil to do something, then that devil brings many other devils along to join him to create an atmosphere of evil over the people that have allowed him to do something. So you need to know that fantasy is a devil. And this fantasy spirit has been operating very well for many years on TV, on cartoons, and on, Bewitching Spirit, the witch that was the Bewitching Spirit. I forgot her name, but anyway, she's Bewitched. And now since her, there's been so many others, and they keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper, whereas before, the Bewitching Spirit, she just could make her nose move and things would come about. But now they're going out into cemeteries and they're doing darkness in the TV sitcoms that they're in now. So you need to just turn the television off. Now Satan, now the first myth, the Bible says in James 2:19, it says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devil believes and trembles. So the devil knows when a person believes. And he also knows if a person has the anointing to cast him out. Dr. Sabrina and I were in a ministry a couple of weeks ago, and a woman came up and she said, there's something wrong with my hand. And she said, every now and then it just starts trembling uncontrollably. And so I reached out and took her hand, and her hand was pulled away, and the devil just went ape. I mean, it just started freely, massively delivering her, first her arm, but then her whole body started twitching and manifesting, and she was just absolutely demon-possessed. And when we cast the devils out, the pain went away from her arm. And people that cast out devils, if they're real, they always have many miracles. Impossible things happen, because a lot of times it's just a devil in the it's just a devil in the person, honey. And when you cast them out, then Jesus steps in and delivers, but he heals. Amen. So you may be one of the billions who do not believe in the existence of demons and devils and the devils, or you may consider that the devil is a comic character or a folklore, a person with a red and little hooks up on their heads and horns and pitches, you know, pitchforks and long johns and all this crazy stuff. You might just think that it's just a bunch of hooey. Well, it isn't. What it is the devil has your mind and he has you bound, and he can do anything he wants to with you because you're deaf, dumb, and blind spiritually. Now, the devil believes that it's essential to keep the person in ignorance of his own existence. So he just pretends that he's not alive or that he's not real. His policy for years has been to conceal his kingdom from humanity. And as long as you think it's about all fun and games, he can entrap you, and that's when you're going to have a tremendous spiritual battle. On the other hand, you might believe that there is a demonic spiritual warfare. He cannot make you be a materialist or a doubter. You have to make decisions. If Satan can use your emotions, for instance, and bring about your faith as such as an extent of what is to affect unbelief, then Satan can step in, and by the power of the devils, he can bring about in the name of the devil anything that he wants to with your soul, your body, or your spirit. And so really what it's getting down to tonight, my friends, is this. It's called a spiritual warfare. A spiritual warfare, it's a happening in the spirit realms. In the foreword of the book by a great woman of God called Jesse Penn Lewis, the book's name is War on the Saints, the full unabridged edition. The Bible says why most Christians do not know that there is a warfare. He says the church has not dealt with the powers of darkness or an enlightened united powers. In other words, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has not dealt with the powers of darkness. He doesn't believe in the devil at all. And in the territory, even as the devil has disrupted the churches and your houses and things of that nature, even though the devil is free, even if you are a born-again Christian, what Jesse Penn Lewis is saying, that if your ignorance of the devil's devices, which the Bible fully, totally understands and teaches the powers of darkness, but you chose not to watch them. If you just ignore the devil can take the devil can come in and he can do things in your house and you never even know that he's doing things. He can take your finances away from you. He can make your things in your confusion, interviewance of this. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You have no apart power over this, and you get out of here in the name of Jesus. Now, go in Jesus' name. I bind you, and I cage you in Jesus' name. And see, sometimes when you go out and you evangelize, there will be witchcrafts that are inside of the church. More than likely, there are witchcrafts up on the chat room. So, Sabrina, come and bind them up right now.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority and dominion over all demons, witches, warlocks that are on the chat room. We bind their works, Lord God, and we send the powers that they work against Christians back from where it came from. We did not request it, Lord God, so we send it back as mail that is sent to the wrong address, Father, in Jesus' name. We invoke, Lord God, 1 Thessalonians 1:6, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord God, that their warfare is ended, Jesus. It ended at the foot of Calvary because, as according to your word, Lord Jesus, it is finished. They have no right, no authority, and we bind their powers. We bind their manipulations. We bind their chantings. We bind their sacrifices. We take away that blood that they used in those sacrifices, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we send it where, Father, in the name of Jesus, you would have that blood to go. We cancel it from being used against any Christian or any person, Lord God.
Blood Everybody is, pray on the cat.
Blood is something, Father, that you created for mammals, Father, in Jesus' name. And we bind the inordinate use of blood in Jesus' name. We bind the inordinate use of blood in Jesus' name. We take authority and dominion over all blood sacrifices being done in this season, Father, by anyone in Jesus' name. We bind, Lord God, even stray animals being killed for no apparent reason, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that those that come to work up against this program, your service, Lord God, your church service on the internet and over the airways, we bind their powers and their works in Jesus' name. We send it back a thousandfold in Jesus' name. And we thank the Lord God that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we show to be in the wrong. We bind those tongues in Jesus' name. We bind their ability to speak, chant, murmur against us, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, for the cleansing of the airways in Jesus' name. We bind the prince of the power of this air. We bind the god of this world. We bind the Lord of the flies in Jesus' name. We release, Lord God, your grace throughout the airways in Jesus' name. Your blood covering over your people, Lord God, and the works of your kingdom in Jesus' name.
Okay. I don't know if I got that one or not. The blood of the Lamb. Father God, every witch that is working in this chat room and in the airwaves, I bind you up right now.
In Jesus' name.
I command every devil that has come in here to interfere in this program. You have no authority. You have no power. And I command those devils to go back to where they came from, right back in Jesus' name. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I command those devils to listen to the rest of this program.
In Jesus' name.
And I command every devil that goes into that person to lose their mind.
In Jesus' name.
And I ask that you let them listen to the program.
In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. And Father God, we give you praise and glory. We thank you that the Bible says that Satan is the god of the airways. And we take authority over the God of the airwaves. And you have no authority at all to work
in Jesus'
on this program at all.
In
not
Jesus
at
name.
All.
In
and
Jesus
Father,
name.
We give you praise and glory, praise and glory, that you are great and mighty to be praised. I can't find that book. In Jesus' name.
They changed the name of the book.
Oh.
It's now called Sirius. Secrets of spiritual warfare.
Secrets of spiritual warfare, we bind you up in the name of Jesus.
No, they changed the name of war in the, war on the saints to spiritual.
Well,
secrets.
Tell them about it.
Believers, if you're looking for that book that Pastor was mentioning a little while ago, War on the Saints by Jesse Penn Lewis, the name has been changed to Secrets of Spiritual Warfare.
I wouldn't do that. I haven't read that.
Okay.
It's War on the Saints. And whenever, here's the thing, when you write a book, it's up there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody might have changed that name saying mm-hmm. that that's the book, so I wouldn't lead them to that book.
All right, then you need to go on a site that will lead you to the original unabridged edition.
Yes,
in Jesus'
name.
You can
find that book up on Amazon.com. Because, you see, Jesse Penn Lewis has been dead now for many, many years.
About a century.
And yeah, the Wales Revival. And you see, there's no way that she would have changed the name of her book. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's War on the Saints. You can find it on, you can even find it on ebooks for free up on the search engines if you want to. But we want you to realize that this is a warfare that we're talking about here. And we want you to know that Satan is very, very real. And as Christians, you need to know when a spiritual warfare is happening, you need to know that you have to, first and foremost, you have to resist the devil, and then he leaves. And what you have to do is then you have to protect yourself first. And you see, while I was doing this teaching tonight, somebody was working up on the chat room, and they were trying to twist the powers of the air, and they were trying to stop the message from going forth. And so I had Sabrina to come over and do warfare while I went to find out who it was up there. And so I believe that we've got it. We stopped it. But chat room people, always be on the alert for strange people to come up. Watch what they say. Watch what they do. And be very careful, because they will use false prophecies, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And particularly in this knee, in this time of the year, they try to infiltrate right there into the church. And so what I want you to do now is I want you to, I'm going to open up the guest calling to come in. I think we've got enough teaching up there for one night, right? So mm-hmm. Let me put the call up for you. Bill put it up, okay. Mm-hmm. Here it is again. And I'll talk to the people that are listening to the program. You can call in you dial one, but you dial in eight. Dial one, no, before you dial in, just dial 805-292-0300, and then you dial one. And let me say it again, 801. 805. 292-0300, and then you dial one, and then that puts your hand up so that you can come up on the chat room, I mean up on the air, and we're going to take a call. Dr. Sabrina, 706, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Rhonda from Georgia.
Rhonda! Everybody clap for one. What's going on and what goes on?
I came to the conference and I got major deliverance, and then Bishop gave me some books of the Bible he wants me to read, and he said I would continue to get deliverance.
Mm-hmm. And have you?
Yes. So I've been reading my books of the Bible, and then I'm continuing to get deliverance, and then still I'm in prayer. You know, in spiritual warfare over the condition to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like onions on the skin on the onion, bit by bit.
Yeah. And what I suggest also, this is Halloween. So you've got to be very, very astute concerning your life. What you have to do is you have to turn the television off, mm-hmm. and you fill yourself with the Word of God. And read those books that Bishop Kenko told you to read. And listen to some of the teachings up on Miracle Internet Church. Keep close to the Blog Talk Radio. And we'll see you get totally delivered, Rhonda. Now, what did you see aside from what Jesus did for you, you saw a lot of other people getting deliverance too, didn't you?
Yes, the little boy got delivered from deafness. The lady from Oklahoma brought her daughter that had lupus, and he said within 5 days she'd be totally free. And she had just gotten out of the hospital having chemotherapy. And there was a lady that her mother got free of arthritis. And the little boy that got free of the deafness, he had a brother that got set free from asthma.
Mm-hmm. There were two brothers.
Yeah, two brothers.
Years old. Wait, the little boy was six, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. He was six.
Then his two brothers were eight, and they got free of asthma, both of them. Both of
uh-huh.
them. So that family was walking around with a curse on it.
The grandmother got saved.
Mother got saved.
Grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a wonderful group of signs and wonders and miracles and deliverance.
Yes. You
so
see,
I strongly suggest coming to the conference if you can get there.
You know, like I said earlier, whenever a person is set free of evil spirits, they always get free of certain things that the devil has put on them, sometimes from their own sins that they've done, and other times it can be sins that have come down their family lines from their parents and their forefathers. And so deliverance is real, isn't it?
Yes, it's very real. And he does have a great gift of discernment because he discerned the spirits without having to tell him what you thought was wrong. He said the Lord had already shown him, so
right.
he knew what he was dealing with, which is entirely different from interrogating demons to find out what spirit it is.
Well, you see, Rhonda, interrogating spirits is demonic.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find a scripture in the Bible to do that. It's just not in the Word of God. And it's a system that a Baptist preacher called Win Worley set that system up some back in probably about the 70s somewhat. And he would sit people in the chair, and he would interrogate the demons, and they would write their names down. And I was around when all that was going on. And the Lord told me, he said, you don't have to know the names of demons. He said, you have to know my name. And so the ministry, whether you know a demon or not, you can make demons leave without even knowing their name. Believe me.
Yes.
But the point being is sometimes the Lord will let you get the names of the devils so that the person knows where the devil came from and what its work's doing in your life. And I believe that it's a phony ministry is what I believe. And I've watched it, and I don't believe that it's real. I believe that we do deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. And whenever we do deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus is the deliverer, and Jesus knows the name and the works of every single devil, every single one. And so if he wants us to know the name, he'll give it to us. If he doesn't want us to know, he'll cast those demons out of somebody anyway. And so... We call out demons by their names many, many times, as you well know. But the point is the body of Christ needs to wake up to the reality of the fact that the devil is working all the time, and God wants his people to wake up and get delivered. But you can't get delivered unless people pay a price. Now, let's talk just for a moment about the price that it cost you. The price that it cost you, Rhonda, was that you had to come miles and miles to the conference. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And you really couldn't afford it, could you?
No, but I went and stretched it, believing in faith in Jesus.
But the fact that you couldn't afford it, you prayed and asked God to get you there. So the conference cost you a price to come to get deliverance. Isn't that true?
That's true.
And so when you got down here, it's not that God required you to come that many miles to a deliverance ministry. The point is that there's not very many deliverance ministries that you could have gone to and gotten any deliverance at all. So you came a long distance to get free. And, of course, God met every need, right?
That's right. And the room was even cheaper than I thought it would be. They gave me even a greater discount when I got there.
They gave you a discount for your room?
Uh-huh. And
there were people there that greeted you. I think there were even Mila took a bunch of you out to lunch, I heard.
Uh-huh.
Mila took some of them to lunch and to different things, you know, people were helping you with over there. And
uh-huh.
So God was good, right?
Yes, God was good to me.
Okay. Can you hold on? I have to take this other line now.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Rhonda. Yeah, she did very well at the conference. Mm-hmm. Very well, God. Not only that, but she looked refreshed and she looked absolutely delivered for that session.
Mm-hmm.
I've got another call on the phone and I'm trying to get it up now as I speak to you. And it's 4:15. You're on the air. Area code 415. You're on the air. Do you want to speak to the host? Well, you got your hand up, so I came to you. So you just come back up. I'm sorry, but don't push one if you don't want to speak to the if you don't want to speak to me and talk about something. Don't put your little hands up, okay? Now let's see. We've got 661. You're on the air. Hello. That
I'm
one.
Still on.
I know. Just I'm
okay.
Answering other people. Sometimes
okay.
Bind up Bosie because he's trying to mess around with the people calling in. Bosie, you take your hands off of the answering service and you go back to whoever sent you in Jesus' name. 415, you're on the air. Hello? Okay, I guess they push the... See, when you push one, when you call in and you push one, it tells me you want to talk. So don't push one if you don't want to talk. And I won't pick up the phone, okay? And so God is great all of the time. And I asked for other people besides Rhonda to come up on the air and talk about things that happened. And Rhonda, you met a lot of people from Blog Talk, didn't you?
Yes, I met a lot of people from Blog Talk. I met my friends from Mississippi and the lady from Oklahoma and the lady from Canada and the lady from Australia and the lady from South Carolina and the ladies from Texas. There were just lots of people from all over the place.
Yeah, the room was just absolutely packed out.
Yeah.
They came, started coming from the beginning, and they continued to arrive right up to Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had North Carolina there, Mississippi,
Texas,
New York, Oklahoma, all kinds of folks. And Rhonda, where are you from?
I'm from Atlanta, actually. I'm 2 hours from Atlanta.
Oh.
So if they know where Atlanta is, they know just about where I'm at.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had another lady from Georgia that came.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and she got a lot of good deliverance and ministry also. And then came Sunday morning, we had an excellent church service, and then we came back Sunday night, and God put us all to work again. And we saw the Holy Spirit move, and it was just wonderful and marvelous. You want to say hello, Brother Bill?
Yes, hello, Brother Bill. Thank you, you and Sabrina. You have a wonderful host and hostess, and you got a lovely wife. She was a great minister's assistant.
Yeah. Hello to you.
Hey, Rhonda. It's good.
Hello.
It was finally good to put a face with that voice.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I have that southern drawl.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Rhonda, it was a pleasure to have you. It was so nice. You're such a delightful person, and you actually left glowing. It was such
a joy
to see the transformation and to witness the power of God move in your life.
Thank you. I appreciate the help.
Amen, Brother Bill.
Yes, it was amazing. You did leave actually glowing, Rhonda.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I was greatly encouraged.
Amen. You coming back next time?
Yes, I'm coming back next time.
Amen. Well, what happened to you, now we're announcing that we're going to do monthly meetings there. What we want you to do is start praying for the monthly meetings and also start praying for the Lord to furnish you someone to come with you next time and bring.
Yeah, that's what I would like to happen. I would like to come once a month.
Well, you can, but you got to pray about it. You got to find somebody where you are that want to come and will share the room and the gas expenses.
That's what I'm praying for.
Yeah. And then God can do that, right?
Right.
Amen. God is good all the time. Now, let me ask you this, after the deliverance, how's your body feeling? Better?
Yes, it's feeling better.
How'd it feel?
It's much lighter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that heaviness that it had.
And so, did you get any sicknesses healed?
Yes. You know, when he prayed over the girl with lupus, I prayed because that was trying to come on me.
Uh-huh.
I'm supposed to be going to the doctor to be checked to see if I've got full-blown lupus. So I counted her healing for my healing as well.
Well, you know, Rhonda, lupus, it's a spirit that looks like a wolf.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And what that lupus comes in from is if the person has dabbled in into the psychics, the occult, witchcraft, if someone in their family line has involved themselves in the secret societies or witchcraft. Do you have any remembrance of it, that going on in your life?
Not in my life. Only since I prayer walked that Masonic temple, which was full of the secret society.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I got exposed to it.
But you never went to a fortune teller or anything like that?
Oh, I did get my tarot cards read one time when I was real young, 20 years ago, and I didn't know any better. I had to repent for that.
Did you go to a fortune teller?
Yeah, one time I went to one.
What about going to gypsies?
I went to see one time, but he had passed away, but I walked on his ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think I got exposed to it by walking on the property.
What about reading books on Jean Dixon and Ruth Montgomery and Arthur Ford?
I had read one on Jean Dixon before I got saved, before I was a Christian.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. Have you ever watched any television things that talk about haunted houses and
Yes, I watch some of those shows on television. I think they call it The Haunting or something, and they go to different properties and they put sound equipment and feel cold spots and things like that. I watched that on television.
Right. Did you ever watch any television that involved other people's false Christian faith? Like, say, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Third Wave people. Well, we've already covered Third Wave with you, but stuff like that.
I watch some on television, and I've talked to them at the door. You know, they'll come to the door, and they try to give you their literature, and I wouldn't take it. I put it in the trash.
Yeah, yeah.
After I found out that they were false, you know, that they're into a cult.
I see. Well, in that case, what I want you to do is I want you to think and pray and ask God if there's anything else.
Okay. Yeah, I watched that television show about Bewitched when I was a child, and I watched that show. There's some kind of show that used to come on about the three witches. I don't know what the name of it is, but I watched that some. So I just have to ask for forgiveness and repentance and renounce witchcraft. Knowingly and unknowingly.
Okay, what about Charmed? The TV Charmed. Can y'all hear me, Bill?
Yes, we can hear you.
Alice says that she
can't hear.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, open the chat room. Open the chat room for Alice right now in the name of Jesus. Everybody pray while we are talking to Rhonda. Everybody pray. Now, there was a Bewitched a thing on television called Charmed. There was a movie called The Exorcist. She still can't hear people. Let me tell her, Alice, I am trying. Okay. There was a movie called The Exorcist. Did you ever see that movie? No, I can't hear.
Did you mean the movie?
Okay. Bill, can you hear me?
You sound great, Pastor. Rhonda's the only one I can't hear right now.
Okay, let me go up and see what's, because I can't hear Rhonda. Rhonda, are you on the air? You can hear Rhonda. I can't hear her nor Bill. Rhonda, can you call back? I can't hear you. Look, I gotta do the I can't. Please call back, Rhonda. I just lost. Am I on the air?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Okay. I can't hear. I can't. Something's happened to the sound that I can't hear, but I can see. So, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over these spirits in Rhonda that we have talked about, and we bind them up and we command them to get out of her in the name of Jesus. Come up and out. Come up and out in Jesus' name right now. Come up and out. come up and out in the name of Jesus. You have no authority, no power. Come out. Come out. Is she doing anything?
I can't hear her.
Yeah. Okay. And we command those things to go to the pit right now in the name of Jesus. And every Bozy spirit, you get out of this computer. You have